So the five main parties fought it out together for the final time before the election in the BBC's leader debate last night. Things got heated right from the start as the DUP, Sinn Féin, UUP, SDLP and of course the Alliance clashed over the RHI scandal. They also slugged it out over issues like Brexit, the transfer of votes and whether direct rule could be on the cards after the election. Let's have a listen to some of last night's fiery debate when it kicked off between Arlene Foster and Michelle O'Neill over that burning issue, RHI.
People are absolutely angry at the arrogance, the disrespect, the contempt for the public and the fact that the DUP can't even recognise that they did something absolutely wrong.
Arrogance, disrespect and contempt, Arlene Foster.
Well, I also have to deal with the allegations of corruption as well because, of course...
There's not, the whiff of, allegations of. There have been plenty of allegations.
There's not a scintilla of, there's not a scintilla of evidence. And everybody on this platform...
But plenty of allegations.
That. But here's the reality. Would it not have been more intelligent? Would it not have been better to have had the public inquiry first and then had the election? Because then we would have had the full facts for everybody to make a judgment. Instead, what we've had is political manoeuvring by Sinn Féin. And what about a wee bit of respect, Michelle? Just saying. What we need to do is to have...
Now, much has been made of Arlene Foster mentioning Gerry Adams numerous times when she launched her manifesto last week. But last night, it was Colm Eastwood who did it for her.
Arlene's unionism is so strong and so secure that she's putting out leaflets with a darkened down picture of Gerry Adams in it. She's talking about Gerry Adams more than she's talking about anything else. So these scare tactics are what people are so fed up with.
Right.
They're why people are sitting at home and not
Gerry
voting.
Tonight,
and if people want to change that, they should
vote.
Thank you. Thank you for saying a vote for
you did mention him 32 times.
And
you did mention Gerry Adams 12 times and Sinn Féin 32 times in your manifesto launch speech.
Well, I haven't mentioned him. I haven't mentioned him here tonight, but thank you for doing that for me tonight. Thank you.
Arlene was then under fire again, and this time from Naomi Long.
What we heard at the last election was that we needed a strong leader of unionism, but that same strong leader of unionism presided over chaos within this scheme, presided over chaos in terms of how it was handled, and didn't actually deal with
the
crisis.
And this is chaos with hindsight.
No, it's not chaos with hindsight. It's chaos in the here and now.
Ulster Unionist leader Mike Nesbitt was put on the spot again about his admission that he would be transferring his vote to the SDLP, which sparked this remark from Arlene Foster.
If you vote for Mike, you'll get Michelle. That's the reality. You won't get Colm, you'll get Michelle.
But people voted for you last time and they got Martin McGuinness, and he wrote your resignation letter.
They got...
Michelle O'Neill was asked to spell out where she thought which parties her voters would transfer to.
I would say to people, vote for progressive parties, vote for people that actually are true to your values. My values of equality, respect, integrity, my values of a new and a great Ireland, my values of anti-corruption, and my values of respect and government.
So I want to come back very quickly. Couple of questions. What do you have to fear from Sinn Féin?
They want to implement their radical Republican agenda, whereas I want to... implement my five-point positive plan for Northern Ireland.
But Naomi Long had a different view.
The DUP, when you're at their conference, are all about confident unionism. Unionism has never been stronger. And then every election, unionism has never been in such dire straits. I think it's about time they stopped playing the politics of fear and owned up to the reality that they have nothing else to offer than fear.
Right, 030 30 80 55 55, we want to hear from you this morning. And of course that programme chaired by Noel Thompson's on the iPlayer. If you missed it last night, you can go and watch it now. Joining me to have a little look through last night's programme, political commentators Alex Kane and Malachy O'Doherty. Good morning to you both.
Morning Vinny, morning Alex. Hi Malachy.
Alex, who came off best last night from your perspective?
I'm not sure any of them did, Vinny, to be honest. I think
get off the fence now, Alex Kane. We're not going to start off the programme like that.
I'll say when you analyse these things, and I'm wearing the commentator's hat, the big question you ask is, did any of them do themselves any damage? Did they leave any hostage to fortune? Were the moment when the parties are going, oh my God, what have you just said? No, none of them did that. But equally, there were no killer blows. They didn't land a blow on each other. And I think from last night's point of view, I think Colm, of all of them, I actually think Colm Eastwood was the best. I think he was competent. I think he was funny at times. I think he managed to get little digs in quite nicely. Nothing killer, nothing spectacular. The one person who really needed to land that blow was Mike Nesbitt on Arlene Foster, because she did look defensive. She looked weak. She looked rattled at times. She looked uncomfortable all the way through it. And I think there were a couple of moments when Mike could have got in there and just given her an uppercut in the chin and just left her weak. So the people who were looking and saying, right, what's the difference between the UUP and the DUP, might just have said, yeah, that's the... It might just have been enough to make some waverers go, actually, I'm going to give Nesbitt a chance. But he didn't. And I also think, sorry Maliki, before you start, I also think he made a fatal mistake, and he got away with it when he was asked about would he, he said, well, yes, I probably would vote for Naomi Long. I am genuinely surprised, maybe because there wasn't enough time, that either she or Arlene didn't jump in and say, hang on a minute, you did a pact to stop me 2 years ago, and now you're telling me you might actually vote for me. And I think there'll be unions who say, hang on, he's going to vote for SDLP in East Belfast, and he might even vote Alliance in East Belfast. I think that was, if there was one crucial mistake, I think that was probably it from last night.
Maliki?
Well, I mean, I think we do have a star in Northern Ireland politics, and I mean, she's in a different constituency to me, so she's not going to vote for me, and that's Naomi Long. I mean, I think her performance is outstanding, and I think it's always outstanding. I think she's lucid, she's pithy, she's aphoristic, and she's deadly. And she gets away with something that Arlene doesn't get away with within the wider public, in that Naomi can be really, really strident and is forgiven that. And yet when Arlene tries being really strident, everybody says, oh God, she's horrible.
Why is that, Maliki?
Well, I don't know why that is. I think, part of it maybe is just the ideology. I mean, that Naomi represents a more liberal ideology, so people give her it for that. I really don't know. I think there are misogynistic prejudices at work on some level. I was sitting with somebody else watching Arlene Foster last night, and I mean, I thought Arlene was being Arlene. I mean, I thought in some ways she was quite good. She started off with a really, really strong point, which was, if RHI is a big issue, why wasn't it an issue in the last election when it was a living issue at that time? And nobody picked it up. That's a very strong point. And yet this other person who was with me watching this was saying, oh God, isn't she awful? Isn't she terrible? Oh, look at her. Wouldn't she second it? And I said, well, no, that's what she is. And the other side of that is, of course, that she knows her market and she's playing to that market. She's not going to take votes away from the SDLP or Sinn Féin. So all those, people of that more liberal bent or that more nationalist bent, in the audience who were groaning at her are no problem for her anyway, because they were never going to vote for her in the first place.
Alex, some newspapers today, the Belfast Telegraph newsletter, they're suggesting that Arlene faced a harder time than most. Is that fair? And if so, was it to be expected because of the RHI scandal?
No, I don't think she did face a particularly hard time. Noel said right at the beginning of the programme that this audience is mostly composed of party supporters. So I'm presuming some sort of ticket system allowed people from the five parties, which meant that Arlene was the focus of attention. She's not liked by any of them. They all want to hit her and hurt her in some way. So, yeah, it's not surprising that the audience, if they could be accused of being one-sided, which I don't think they were, but if they could be accused of being one-sided, yeah, they did seem to be one-sided against her. But I think it's worth bearing in mind, Vinny, none of this matters. I remember watching the last debate, and the general conclusion of a lot of people was Arlene wasn't particularly good. I have seen Robinson mauled, Peter Robinson. I've seen Paisley mauled at these events. I've seen DUP figures mauled at all sorts of things. They still come out and win, because Maliki's right. Probably 85% of the people in that studio were never going to vote for Arlene. She was never going to win them over. So she didn't even try. She played to her own base. And so, right at the beginning when I said there were no hostages of fortune, as I say, none of her voters will have been rattled or in any way put
so
up.
Well, last night, Alex, to her. Well, last night's debate, will that have changed anything? If people were wavering and maybe not 100% sure what way they wanted to vote, will that have made any difference?
I don't say it because I think, and I could be wrong, I mean, this is my instinct is, from talking to people and having been observed this for 30 years, that most of the people who watch these debates, and this is heavy stuff, Vinny. It's not sit down with a curry and, have a laugh. This is heavy stuff. You're asking people to think. I think the vast majority of the audience will probably have made up their mind before they're sat down. You may find one or two. Yes, Nesbitt may have picked up a few. Arley may have picked up a few. The SDLP, I think Colm gave a good performance. Malachy's right. I think Naomi was. I think she is probably the best on her feet performer we have. And you asked.
But then you can take that, Alex, and go back to the issue with RHI and the pressure that Arlene has been under because of issues relating to that. And then so people like Naomi would have had an easier ride because they've not all that kind of baggage with them.
Well, I think that may be true to some extent, but the other thing, I mean, and Malachy touched upon it, why Naomi gets away with it. I think, and just from an observer's point of view, I think she gets away with it because people don't expect a lot. Alliance will do okay, I actually think.
They don't expect a lot?
No, they don't expect to win. They don't expect to come back with 17, 18 seats. So Naomi, in a sense, gets away with that because people go, yeah, well done. But at the back of your mind, you're thinking, it doesn't really matter. You're not going to be first minister. You're not going to be leading the executive or anything like that. Whereas with Arlene, I think Arlene came with a reputation of someone who was a safe pair of hands, who was competent, who was good on her feet. And I just think in the past, I talked to Stephen about this way back in December. I think Malachy may have been on the programme with me as well. I think Arlene very easily and very quickly could have put all this into place, avoided an election, avoided this meltdown. She brought this on herself. And I think that's what a lot of people think, even some in the DUP. Actually, Arlene, we're having an election because of how you handled this as well.
Do you think?
I think also the big decision, people, you know, the message that Colm Eastwood was putting out, and Mike to a lesser extent, I think you're right when you say that Mike didn't have enough lead in his pencil last night, but, you know...
Malachy, it's a Wednesday morning.
Well, choose your metaphors as you wish. You know, the message that is coming out is, or that they're trying to project is, you really can make a difference here. If you vote for Sinn Féin and the DUP, then you're going to end up with a deadlock. And that's a reality. We know that is.
Well,
so you can make a difference by voting for the SDLP and the Ulster Unionist Party and the Alliance. Now, Colm
Eastwood, surely that's only
very, very good at making that.
Only in huge numbers, Malachy.
Only in huge numbers. Only in huge numbers. You're absolutely right. So we can be despairing now and say that this isn't likely to happen. But I thought that Colm Eastwood threw his energies behind that message last night. And I think it was quite clear, for instance, of all the performers last night, or performers, I'm calling them performers, but, you know, except I think Mike Nesbitt, you got the feeling that they'd rested. You got the feeling they'd prepared for this. You got the feeling that
I'd like to think so.
Yeah, that they'd made their notes and they'd got their lines organised, and they were throwing their energies into it.
Malachy, I wanted to ask you as well. At the beginning of this campaign, Arlene Foster said this would be brutal. Has it been quite as brutal as many would have expected?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's been brutal for her. I think she pitched her tent on the idea that this is a threat from Gerry Adams. This has nothing to do with RHI. This is Sinn Féin trying to split unionism. So let's get back to the old tribal camps. Let's stand firm over the sectarian certainties. That's what she chose to do. Now, it will probably turn out that that's worked quite well for her. That's what I suspect. Although it's a horrible thing to see politics, going to that stage. But I mean, the counter argument to that is: look, we can prioritise competence in government over our sectarian allegiances. You know, and Naomi put that really, really well. If you vote for people and their ideology, this is what you get. You know,
Alex, as a former UUP man yourself, do you think was it a big gamble for Mike Nesbitt in terms of the vote transfer?
I think let's be clear. I think it was the right thing to do. I think if you're saying that if you're sick to death of the DUP Sinn Féin axis and you think it's not going to work, for whatever reason you think it's not going to work, then there is an alternative. It's the UUP and the SDLP, and the only way to deliver that is to make sure you vote in sufficient numbers. And the logic of that is, yeah, you're going to have to transfer earlier than you've ever done before. That is how he should have done it. He should have discussed it with Colm beforehand, discussed it with his party.
Yeah.
He did none of that, because that has always been the logic. The vote, Mike, you get Colm. I'm sorry, Benny, whatever they're trying to say now, that was always the logic.
Okay, all right, Alex.
One you get two.
Alex and Malachy, stay there for a moment for me, please. 0-30-30-80-55-55. Stephen in Bush Mills. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Benny.
Go ahead.
I believe that this country has Direct Rail written all over it.
Why? Definitely. Why, Stephen? Why do you feel that?
I feel it's been given every chance to work out at Stormont, but it has failed abysmally.
And you've no faith that they can reach agreement after tomorrow. So, will you vote?
I'll destroy my vote.
But is that going to help? Will that work towards any...
It's a protest.
Okay, all right, Stephen, thank you. John in Belfast, go ahead, John.
Hello, Vinny. Vinny, I thought last night the way the DUP and Sinn Féin were talking, we're going into direct rail. And I believe, I'll tell you the reason why we're going into direct rail. In April, PIPS comes online in Northern Ireland, which means people who are disabled, who get the care component, will be losing their care component if they have disabled equipment in their home. I'm not one of those parties. In their manifestos, or anyone discussed it or planned for it.
And why do you think that is?
Directly. And then they can put their hands up and go, well, it wasn't us, it was the British government.
It's a pretty extreme way of trying to get out of making that kind of decision or presiding over that, John, is it not?
Well, you had the issue over welfare reform. They keep on saying how much money this country lost over welfare reform. The worst of welfare reform is coming in April. We've already been told by the Conservatives, they've already leaked it out, that they're going to attack people on disability benefits. That's how they're planning to get £2 billion, they're going to take off people who are disabled. And anyone in Northern Ireland, you get the care component in their DLA, you have hospital equipment in their homes so they can live, will be losing up to £250 per month. And not one of those parties brought that up in their manifestos or anything they've been on the TV talking about things. And I think it's an absolute disgrace.
Okay. John, thank you. David in Warringstown. Go ahead, David.
Morning, Vincent. How are you doing?
Not too... You call me Vincent now. You'll get me in trouble. Go ahead.
Sorry, Vinny. Just love waking you up.
No.
anyway, on a more serious note, we all know that the DUP are responsible for the RHA debacle.
They would say it's important to wait until this public inquiry has been sought through and then we'll see what comes out the other side of it. But go ahead.
Well, let's see what happens in this public inquiry. Let's hope we do get the full truth, nothing but the truth and the absolute truth, and not a watered-down version of what we normally get. But anyway, we know that they're responsible for this. It was Arlene Foster who implemented the scheme. Now, any of the other politicians and members of Parliament or the Stormont that I have spoken to, they tell me that the
new... Of course, Arlene, whereas she was the minister in charge at that time, she denies that she's done anything wrong. But go ahead, David.
Well, you know what I mean? She might think she hasn't done anything wrong, but to implement a scheme where you get a return which is phenomenal definitely is morally wrong and financially wrong because it's the country...
Did you watch last night's programme, David?
I didn't even know the programme was on, and I am so disillusioned with politics, Benny, that I really don't know what to do. But the point that I was trying to make is, who do I really trust now in politics? Who do I really want to vote for?
Well, you see, that's important, David, because the integrity of our politicians and our trust in them is really important. And when we talk about issues that happen, and if we have trust issues with them, then that can really affect all of us.
But I mean, how can we trust them when the majority of them stand up and say, we knew nothing about this debacle, we knew nothing about the implications of this scheme until it was brought into the public forum by the Stephen Nolan Show?
Well, it was actually the Spotlight programme, but yes, go ahead.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean, the BBC. And fair play to the BBC for having their eye on the ball. It seems to me that all the other parties seem to have their eye off the ball. So either they weren't concentrating on running the country properly, they weren't being efficient.
Is it fair, though, David, to tar them all with the same brush? We get people coming on the programme all the time saying, oh, they don't like politics, they don't like politicians, and they're all useless, they're all the same. But a lot of them are very hard working. It's not a job I would want for any amount of money. You know, they're not badly paid, but they're definitely not paid an enormous amount of money, and they have a lot to try and deal with. Would you want that job?
Benny, those words come from you. I never once said that any of them are useless.
No, I know you didn't, but I'm saying that we get that quite a bit on the programme where people just tar them with the same brush and they have no faith at all. So they see that any negative issues that come from Stormont, from government, whether you're talking about our government here or Westminster, and therefore everyone gets tarred with the same brush, then that disillusionment that we have just means we just don't bother. We don't even want to vote.
In every parliament and every government, you will always have mistakes, but it's the magnitude of this mistake that was made. It was of such a great amount of money potentially could be squandered. You know what I mean? It could be up to a half of the block grant that comes from Westminster, the $2 billion a year that comes from Westminster. It keeps Northern Ireland in the style that it's become accustomed to. Now, as I say, everybody makes mistakes. I run a business, and if I was to make the massive flaw, an error, in my finances that Arlene Foster made in our finances, I would go bankrupt. They're not spending their own money, Vinnie.
All right,
they're
David,
spending
listen.
Everybody else's.
Okay. David, thank you. And of course, once again, Arlene, you know, she said that she's not done anything wrong and that we need to wait until the findings of the public inquiry are made public. Jerry, good morning, Jerry.
Morning, Vinnie.
Go ahead.
The DUP to me just came across as a complete joke. I think Naomi Long come off the best, to be honest with you.
And why do you think the DUP did so badly?
You see, she tries to make herself out like she's a strong. There's a difference between strength and arrogance. She's a very, very arrogant woman. Like she's completely stuck in the
past. Is that fair, though, Jerry, to say she's arrogant?
She is one arrogant, arrogant woman.
Some people might say that she comes across as strong.
I would say she is a nightmare to work with because it would be her way.
But let's not talk about things like that. We don't know, and let's assume that she's not, because it's not fair to make assumptions. People could assume that Stephen Nolan is a nightmare to work with, and whereas they might be right, it's not fair to make those assumptions when we don't know. What about in terms of your vote, Jerry? The last night's programme, is it going to change how you think, how you vote, how you'll mark that number down?
No, I'm sort of on the line. I would normally vote one way, but I'm sort of on the line. Naomi Long is very, very impressive. She is very impressive.
Okay, Jerry,
just came away 2 weeks.
Okay, Jerry, thank you. Alex, before we say goodbye to you, we get asked quite often on this programme, people call in and they want to know about money. Money is important to all of us, but in terms of the salaries that our MLAs, that people up on the Hill are getting, how does that work now? You've been in there yourself. But we go into this period of uncertainty for the next 3 weeks, and then if they don't get agreement and it goes to direct rule after that?
Well, I think it won't go to direct rule immediately after that, Vinnie, because let's be quite clear, direct rule means that the Assembly itself has no functions. Technically, it shouldn't even be open. The offices should be closed. There should be no staff or anything like that. What you'll get is a period of suspension where the committees will keep running, the Assembly, the MLAs will still be able to go back and forward. And we had this of a long period of this from about 2001. In fact, I technically had a long period of it from about 1998 right the way through.
So will they still be getting a salary?
Yes, they'll still get a salary. And they give them, and it's an odd thing. Right at the beginning, Benny, it was worth doing it. It was worth doing it because we all knew there would be massive teething difficulties. We all knew remember the DUP and Sinn Féin weren't speaking to each other at all. They had no agreement on the criminal justice system. We had no agreement on decommissioning. So there was a lot to be done. That was done. It took 7 or 8 years to do it. We had a period of stability. But all of that, and people kept saying, oh, it's another sticking plaster. That, given the background where we'd come from and the relationship between the parties, was necessary. My gut instinct this time is, if they really can't save this, if we really have to go to direct rule, and that will be a matter of months' time, not weeks' time, if we really have to go to that, they'll have to stop the salaries. They'll have to close the institution.
But how long could that go on for, this period of suspension you mentioned?
A few months. They could probably run through to maybe September or October, because what the government has to get very quickly...
And they'd be on full pay?
They would be kept on full pay simply because... And look, I'm not trying to justify it, Vinnie.
No, I understand that. I'm just trying to get an understanding of it myself.
If they remove the salaries, if they simply say to these people who have just been elected, I'm sorry, there are no salaries, no staff, no anything, no assembly, in essence, no job. I mean, those people can't sit around for 6 months. Most of them can't afford to do this, so they would have to wander off and find other jobs. That's why the government will be very reluctant to take that step. But if it does, let me tell you this, I'll make one prediction, Vinny. If we get the formal direct rule, then we will not, and I'd say if that happens, it'll take a matter of months before we get there, but if we get the formal direct rule again, it will be years before we get any devolved institution. But the councils will be given something to do. New super council will have a few powers devolved to them. But it will be years before we get another assembly back in business.
Malachy, some ominous words from Alex there. your own prediction.
I recall that Peter Hain, I think it was, legislated that there would be no further suspensions, and that was one of the conditions of putting the thing back together in the past.
They'll get round that, Malachy.
They'll get round that. But the other big thing that came away from last night was three of the parties, Sinn Féin, Alliance and SDLP, have been travelling in Europe talking to European governments on Brexit. The Ulster Unionists pin their hopes on their influence over Theresa May. The DUP pins its hopes on its position within Western Westminster, the numbers that they have there, and a possible balance of power. All they could lose that if there was a general election before Brexit. But it's interesting, you know, three of those parties are knocking doors in Europe, and they're being heard in their claims that there has to be a special arrangement for Northern Ireland. And that's where the biggest political battle will be fought in the next year. That's where the big differences will be made. And in some ways, we may have forgotten very much about Stormont when we see how all that plays out.
I'm not asking for a specific, Malachy, but given the last, say, 6 months, will you change how you vote from the last time?
I'm afraid I will. I'm afraid I will in terms of the sequencing.
Alex, what about yourself?
Do you know, this is strange, that my Twitter feed will now be fueled. I think I will. I'm tempted to think that. I make no secret of the fact, Vinny, for all my problems with the devolution, I actually want it to work. It's what people voted for. It's what the party said they committed
to. Did you slip in there, Alex Keane, very, very quietly, that you would change how you're going to vote from the last time?
Yes, I would. I'm not telling you how I voted last time.
No, I'm not asking that, but you will change.
Look, Vinny, as someone who supported the Good Friday Agreement, as someone who said, I even supported the DUP Sinn Féin doing their deal, because I actually thought maybe they've turned a corner, maybe they've realised they have to do this together.
And did you vote the last time, Alex?
I did, but I didn't vote the time before, but I voted the last time. I took a lot of persuasion, because I'd said I wasn't going to, because I didn't think it worked. I was persuaded by an awful lot of people, by friends, by family, by people just stopping me in the street, oddly enough. I thought it was worth voting. I think it's worth voting this time, because my fear is, Vinny, if we do not get this to work, and I'm not saying we'll be dragged back to the bad old days, but we will. There'll be that sense of despair, that sense of, for God's sake, can we ever fix something? There is a moment. We had it. 98, we had it again in 2007. If we act, I don't want to be too, you know, black and pessimistic in this, but if we lose this moment to actually find a way of proving to ourselves, proving to everyone else that we can work together, if we come out of this in 6 months' time with everyone going, there's the reality, we can't actually work together, that would be devastating.
Okay.
Referendum and direct vote, basically. That's the way you have to treat this now.
Okay. Alex Keane and Malachy O'Doherty, thank you very much.